Hello, we're about to hear a presentation from the Bridging the Gap event from someone who built a company from scratch and has succeeded in introducing his products into dozens of NHS trusts. Innovus Medical are now exporting worldwide. But it all started by chance when two students met at a party. One of those students was Jordan Van Vloot, co-founder of Innovus Medical.
Okay, so as Mike said, my name is Jordan Van Vloot, and I am the co-founder and CTO of Innovus Medical. And I'm going to talk to you today about our journey from startup to scale up. And the hope is, because we had quite a modest beginning, that if there are members of the audience out there who are at the early stages of their innovation or of their business, that it'll show you that it is possible to quite literally build a company out of thin air. So just a little bit about Innovus to start with. So we're a leading developer of widely accessible surgical training systems and applications. And simply put, our products allow surgeons to work through the necessary steps of a procedure in the safe environment away from the patient's bedside. We capture movement metrics during those simulated procedures and using a combination of computer vision and sensor-based tracking technologies, we're able to capture data and provide that back to healthcare providers and educational institutions via an online learning management system so that they can gain insight into individual and group performance. Our products have shown an ability to reduce operative time by up to 66%. And improve the economy of movement of a surgeon by up to 72%. And this improvement directly translates into cost savings for hospitals and reduced recovery times for patients. Improving surgical care through connected surgical training. This is our mission statement, and we use it to guide all of our innovation. And by following this, we always ensure that we stay on target. And on screen now, you can see some of the products that we have out there in the market right now. This is a take-home laparoscopic simulator, and you can see the surgeon performing an appendectomy here. This is a hysteroscopic trainer. The surgeon's using an energy device here to practice this technique. And this is one of our robotic simulators that we partnered up with CMR to develop. But I want to take you right back to the beginning, because I think to truly understand where we are now, you need to understand where we came from. So in 2010, I was in my final year at university. I was studying psychology, and I decided around 2009 that I wanted to go into to medicine. So I wrote my dissertation on a subject that I thought would make me stand out from other applicants of postgraduate medicine. And the paper was called Predicting Surgical Performance. And essentially, what I was looking for was a correlation between cognitive tests, such as visuospatial ability, bimanual dexterity, and performance scores on a surgical simulator. And during the study, I really struggled to gain access to the simulation equipment that I needed. And pretty much every sim center that I reached out to, I was based down in Cardiff, just gave me the same response. There's absolutely no way that we're going to allow an undergraduate anywhere near this equipment. It's far too expensive. And so in the end, I built my own, and you can see it up on screen right now. And for those of you that don't know, this is a laparoscopic simulator. You saw a slightly more advanced version of that on screen earlier. And it allows a surgeon to familiarize themselves with the sensation of operating via a screen, as opposed to looking directly at the operative field as you would in open surgery. And this one was actually built by me and my granddad in his garage. So I completed the study. I won all kinds of awards for it. And I left university that same year with plans to go on into medicine. And as you can see, that didn't happen. So somewhere around the back end of 2011, after leaving university, these two guys met over a few beers at a house party. And Elliot, my co-founder, he was a medical student at the time. And I'd just gone to work for a big pharma company to start paying off some of the enormous amount of debt that I just accrued. So I told Elliot about the research that I've been doing and explained to him about some of the issues that I've faced with regards to accessing equipment. And he explained to me that he'd experienced similar issues as a medical student with regards to accessing equipment himself. So we started talking about how I built my own simulator and to solve this problem, and we wondered whether or not other people could benefit from a similar solution. So pretty soon after this chance encounter, we started asking around, trying to find out what other people's appetite might be for a more accessible, more affordable product, a product that was so affordable that it could potentially be used at home. And it turned out this wasn't just a problem faced by undergraduates, by medical students, but it was also faced by surgical trainees, registrars, and even consultants. So how do we actually go about solving this problem? Well, I didn't have an engineering degree and I didn't have any experience launching products, but I built the first system. So I figured it wouldn't be too hard to build the second. This might have been a little naive, but I think in the end, that was actually an advantage of ours. So armed with a heat gun, a sheet of plastic, and the side of a refrigerator, don't joke, we set about trying to refine that original wooden box that you saw earlier to develop our first prototype. And this is quite literally the moment where my career as an engineer started. And this up on screen right now is the sum total of about a three-week effort in the garage to develop our very first prototype. It wasn't much to look at, but we were incredibly proud of what we'd built here. And once we had it in hand, we set about trying to find out how to sell them with absolutely no sales experience whatsoever. And just as we were about to begin that journey, this is quite literally a quote from somebody who at the time we looked up to, and that was, "You'll never be able to sell to the NHS, it's impossible." And for some people, this may have been the end of the journey, but to be honest, we saw this as fuel, and this person kind of gave us the permission to take the gloves off. And there always will be naysayers, and we encounter them even today, but it's our job as innovators to kind of push that to one side and press on, even if the chances of failure are particularly high. So where did we actually go about starting to sell these products? Well, this is where I first learned to program. This was going back way before things like Wix existed, where you could build a website relatively easily. And we put out our first e-commerce store. Elliot picked up the phone and got in touch with just about every contact he'd made during his time at medical school. And we drove thousands of miles up and down the country, attending events and speaking with just about anyone that would meet with us. And after a tremendous amount of effort, many hours on the phone, many hours driving, on the 15th of November, 2012, at around 20 to 10, I got a notification from PayPal to say that we'd sold the very first simulator. We hadn't sold to the NHS yet, but at least we've proved to ourselves that there was a market out there. And naturally, filled with excitement, I quit my job and started manufacturing simulators out of my garage the following day. And I think sometimes being irrational is a good thing. So within 6 months, we sold our very first batch of product to the Wigan Royal Infirmary, and we were away. And we had all the confidence that we needed to start building the company. And that was a really pivotal moment, I think, for us as entrepreneurs, was to get that first NHS sale under our belt. And we had to work really hard for it. And this is the garage where we built those first units. But I'm going to fast forward a little bit. I'd love to tell you the entire story, but 15 minutes just really won't cut it. Essentially, we outgrew the garage, and we moved into a 1,000-square-foot basement. And then after a couple of years there, we, in 2017, purchased the 6,000-square-foot unit that we operate out of today. And it's here that we've grown the portfolio of products to over 100-plus, and we've gone from 2 employees to now over 30, and that's going to be roughly around about 45 by the end of next year. But 2018, 2019, this period, this year, really defined who we are today and who we are as a company. Because up until this point, we'd grown the company completely organically. We built a profitable organization, but we decided we could do more. And two things happened that year that set us on the pathway to success. The first was securing a £500,000 investment from Mercia Asset Management. And this was to help with funding to scale business operations, employ a direct commercial team here in the UK, and to purchase an SLS 3D printer to do a lot of our manufacturing. The second was perhaps the most transformational for our business, and that was being awarded a £1.1 million grant from SBRI Healthcare to develop the augmented reality laparoscopic simulator you saw earlier and an online learning management system. And this allowed surgeons using the product to track progress throughout their career, and it was the development of this application that really set us on the trajectory that we're on today. So going back to our mission statement to improve surgical care through connected surgical training, this statement was born out of that SBRI project, and it's what forms the basis of the product ecosystem that we're developing. Our core focus moving forward is to design only products that can track surgical progress and make that data readily available via an online learning management system. And we believe that the future of surgical training is in connecting people. And by tracking surgeons throughout the learning curve, we can better understand how to improve the training experience and get trainees through the curve quicker. And this is something that's vitally important to solve many of the challenges that the NHS faces across the next few years. So in order to realise that future, we needed further scale-up capital, which would allow us to hire a direct commercial team in the US, which we've already done this year, increase the size of our web and native software development teams, again, something we've already done, and expand our manufacturing capacity and overall commercial reach. So we believe that this was the perfect moment for the company to make this move, and it is an important step for any scaling business to take. But it's really only driven by kind of gut feel as to when that it's appropriate to make that step. And this is really where our scale-up journey begins. Now, you might be wondering how we got to this point and what the formula is. I think if you asked a Wharton graduate, they might have something exact to say for you, but I'm not entirely clear. I think probably the only thing I could leave you with is that it requires a hell of a lot of hard work. You know, in the past, we've put 54-hour work days in. You know, that's been kind of vital to our success. But I think networking is extremely important. It's been critical for us as part of getting warm leads to investors. And of course, you know, getting involved with the local innovation agency and AHSNs, the team here in Merseyside have been incredibly supportive of us and supported us throughout our journey with SBRI. A decade on from founding the company, we've exported to over 80 countries worldwide, and we have product in use in some capacity in 75% of NHS trusts. We have tens of thousands of surgeons using our products every day around the world across multiple surgical specialties. And the only thing I'm left to say at this point is that it is possible, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. That's it from me, and I believe we're doing questions after.
That's a fantastic message to innovators who are at the start or indeed any stage of their journey. Keep trying. It's possible to do business with the NHS, and the people to help you are the AHSNs. If you're based in the Northwest Coast, the AHSN for you is the Innovation Agency. You'll find links to more presentation recordings on the podcast page. Thank you for listening.